Solomon observed about the miser in Proverbs 23. So in Proverbs 23 and verse 6. It says, "Do not eat the bread of a selfish man or desire his delicacies, for he thinks within himself, so is he. He says to you, eat and drink, but his heart is not with you." And the question then is, what makes a person a miser? Is it the man's words or his actions? But Solomon's pointing out it's neither one. It's his thoughts that makes him a thing. He can say, eat. He can offer food. But he's a miser because of what he thinks. See, people all too often say things they don't mean. And given motivation, they may do things they would rather not do. But it's their thoughts that determine who they actually are. Emerson once wrote and said, "A man is what he thinks about all day long." Our thoughts determine our character. And if we think about it, what is the cause behind sin? You know, a lot of people toy with the idea of, well, it's the environment. You know, the mass riot breaks out in a town and people halfway jokingly say, well, it must have been something in the water. They're saying there's some outside influence that's causing this to happen. That's the way the Jews looked at it too. That's why they were so much against uncleanness. They saw being unclean was the cause of people becoming sinful. But Jesus tells us that sin actually originates within the heart. Take a look at Matthew 15. Matthew 15 and in verse 16. Jesus said, "Are you still lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that everything that goes into a mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? But the things that proceed out of the mouth," excuse me, "come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and slanders. These things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hand does not defile the man." In other words, sin doesn't come because I forgot to wash my hands before dinner. That's not the source of it. It is a form of uncleanness, but it's not physical uncleanness, but spiritual uncleanness that's the cause of sin. In Proverbs chapter 12, Proverbs 12 and in verse 5, it says, "The thoughts of the righteous are just, but the counsels of the wicked are deceitful." Righteous people tend to think righteous thoughts. Wicked people tend to think wicked thoughts. But it's not because a person is righteous that they have righteous thoughts. Rather, we got to understand, it's the righteous thoughts that tend to produce righteous behavior in people. It's because people choose to think about good things that they tend to be good. And of course, the opposite is also true. Take a look at Psalms 36. Psalms 36, and look at verse 1. "Transgression speaks to the ungodly within his heart. There is no fear of God before his eyes. For it flatters him in his own eyes concerning the discovery of his iniquity and the hatred of it. The words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. He plans wickedness upon his bed. He sets himself on a path that is not good. He does not despise evil. It starts out with he's thinking about sin. And it comes out of his mouth. It comes out of his behavior. But he's not just thinking it because there's a temptation that kind of crosses his mind. He's constantly thinking about it. He's planning it. He's thinking about it all day long. He's thinking about it all night long. He's doing it on his bed. And so, in other words, what we think about precedes what we do. We tend to do the things that we think about. Now, take a look at what Paul said about his past in Acts chapter 26. Acts 26 and in verse 9. So then I thought to myself that I had to do many things hostile to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Notice what Paul said. He decided that he had to act against Jesus. And so he did. In a similar way, Simeon, when he sinned in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. Therefore repent of this wickedness of yours and pray the Lord that if possible, the intentions of your heart is not right. The intention of your heart may be forgiven you. Simon sinned because of his intentions that was within himself. In other words, good deeds come from good thoughts. Evil deeds come from evil thoughts. And that chain is so strong that you can oftentimes determine a person's thoughts by just observing his behaviors. John Locke once said, he said, I have always thought the actions of men the best interpreters of their thoughts. Just see what they do. And that's what Jesus had said in our scripture reading in Matthew chapter 7. Talking about the false prophets starting in verse 15. He said in verse 16, you will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, and every bad tree bears bad fruit. The good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. How do I know what a person's like inside, what they're actually thinking? Well, their thoughts are going to come out as their actions. And if their actions are bad, well, that tells me what their thoughts are like. Prior to becoming Christians, Paul talked about the Ephesians in chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind. Don't behave like the Gentiles. How do they get that behavior? They're useless thoughts that preceded those behaviors. Their proud thoughts led them down the path of sin. And it's not just the ones who are out in the world right now. Again, we've been like that before ourselves. Take a look at Colossians 1 and in verse 21. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds. Prior to becoming Christians, many of us didn't give much thought to what we were thinking. And it was our thoughts that led us to bad behaviors. And so while it's important to correct bad behaviors, it becomes more important that I need to correct my bad thoughts. Because that's what's going to lead to my behaviors. In other words, I need to change my mind. And we can see this in a lot of the commands that are given in the scriptures. Like, for instance, John talks about murder. But in 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 11, he says, "But the one who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes." Hatred blinds people to the direction that they're walking, the direction they're going. They don't realize when they start slipping into sin. And that's why John connects it with murder. Take a look at John chapter, 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 15. "Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him." What you think is going to lead to what you do. And our thoughts then also then can tell us about our future. If our thoughts are directing what we do now, then our thoughts are also going to tell us about what we end up doing in the future. Take a look at Proverbs 21 again. Proverbs 21 and in verse 5. "The plans of the diligent lead surely to an advantage, but everyone who is hasty surely comes to poverty." What you're thinking about, what you're planning, what your goals are going to basically direct in what you're going to end up doing. You know, most events are beyond our control. But the way we think nudges us in certain directions. The diligent man thinks in advance about what he needs to do next. And the result is prosperity, because he's constantly thinking about what else needs to be done. The rash man, well, he gives no thought to what needs to be done until it's time. Kind of does things, everything impulsively by the spur of the moment. And he ends up in poverty because he makes too many mistakes. Even when bad people, no one is absolutely 100% bad. And so even when a bad person does something good, then it doesn't change who he is. He's still a bad person. When bad things happen to good people, what about our thoughts? Do I collapse? Do I say, "God hates me," and then just forget about it? Or as a good person, do I use my thoughts to prepare, to deal with them, and get beyond them? Take a look at what Philippians says. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. "Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am. I know how to get along with the humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Notice what Paul is saying there. It's not that he doesn't have bad times. Because I'm a Christian, God protects me from all evil, right? That's not what he's saying. He's saying, because I have my focus on Christ, when bad things happen, well, I'll just learn to deal with it. I'll get beyond it. I'll focus on where I'm going. Samuel Smiles wrote and said, sow a thought and you reap an act. Sow an act and you'll reap a habit. Sow a habit and you reap a character. Sow a character and you reap a destiny. And that's the point that's being made. It starts with what I think, which impacts how I act, which then eventually becomes a habit that then molds my character and shapes where I end up going. So how do we change our thoughts? How do I correct my thoughts? For a lot of people, that becomes confusing. Because, well, you know, I think what I think. How do you change that? It has to be a choice. It has to be an effort on our part. In Jeremiah chapter 4, Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 14, wash your heart from evil, O Jerusalem, that you may be saved. How long will your wicked thoughts lodge within you? I got to work on what I think about. What Jeremiah's warning is, the wicked don't change, then they'll become like people in Jerusalem. I got to change and clean up what I think about. That might mean that I need to change what I read, what I watch, what I think about all the time, what I focus on. And when I find myself going in the wrong direction, I need to stop and change, to start focusing on something right. I need to determine my thoughts. In fact, take a look at Proverbs 16. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 3. Commit your works to the Lord and your plans will be established. You say your thoughts as well. Established means they become firm. If I put God first in my life, then what I think about, what I plan, what I want to do, suddenly becomes more firm. While thoughts tend to lead to actions, it's also true that when you want to change your thoughts, start doing the right thing and it kind of pulls you in the right direction. I've done this with people, you know, if somebody's depressed, you know what the best thing to do is? Purposely get them to do something that's counter to the depressive thoughts. Most depressive people, they get stuck in their room. They get, you know, the lights are out. They don't want to get anywhere. Drag them out in the sunlight. Go for a walk. Do something pleasant. And the next thing you know, your thoughts start changing. And then there's, again, the idea that I have to choose where I go. David one time mentioned that he thought about his life in Psalms 119 and verse 59. He says, I considered my ways and turn my feet to your testimonies. I thought about what I was doing and decided I'm going to change and purposely go the way God said to go. And of course, if I'm focused on doing what God says to do, then my thoughts are still going to start trailing behind with it. And if I get my thoughts going on the right direction, then it's going to impact how I behave. Again, Philippians chapter 4, this time verse 6. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Put your confidence in God. Pray. Trust Him. And then it will then guard your heart. It will guard your mind. So we need to learn how to follow God's teachings. In Proverbs 6. Proverbs chapter 6. And in verse 20. My son, observe the commandment of your father, and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. Saying, don't let go of them, focus on them. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will talk to you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is light, and reproofs for discipline are the way of life. Focus on what you're taught. Think about it, and it comes out in your behavior. I should have had you keep your finger there, but go back to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, this time verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Focus your mind on them. And your mind will change. And your behavior will change. I hope you'll think about these things. If there's anyone here who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those of you who are children of God and would like the prayers of your brethren on your behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.